Hosea chapter 9 and verse 5. What will ye do in the solemn day, and in the day of the feast of the Lord? For lo, they're gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. For the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. May God bless to us those three verses from his holy word. Just a brief recap. Last week we got no further than verse 4. All the frivolous and unbecoming worship of Israel was in vain. God rejected it totally. What is more, in the final, Israel would discover this to their sorrow. And further did we see that even though those who were clean and true, if they associated in any way with this adulterous system of mixture in worship, then they too would be polluted. A very searching thought. And from this, I brought to you that unvarying principle of separation. Very briefly, did we trace it through Scripture? Israel, Judah, the post-captivity period of Ezra and Nehemiah, the early New Testament church, as recorded in the second epistle to the Corinthians, and then on to the end-time apostasy. And the separation of the people of God from all things not contained in the divine mandate is the sole rule. Should any be unfortunate enough, which many are in these days, to be caught up in an unbiblical church, then the call to the head in heaven comes loud and clear. Come out. For you are a partaker of the sins of that place as long as that person remains among them. One cannot, we saw from the scriptures, one cannot escape the plague of such pollution. Now to verse 5. What will ye do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? Now this has reference to Israel's feast days and their many festivals. There is much detail given to us in the Pentateuch concerning these days of assembling and of convocation. There was, of course, the observance of the weekly Sabbath. But in addition to this, there were many other solemn gatherings, very many. The Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, the Great Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Sabbatic Year, the Year of Jubilee, and so on. Some of these events were annual, some every 7 years. But in the life of Israel, there was constant coming together. No sooner was one great ceremony over than plans were in hand for the next. religion was the vital element in their lives. Now, true it was, as we have seen, Israel had turned away from the pure worship of Jehovah by bringing in other things. Practices which were not in line with the divine ruling. And for many a year had this continued, despite God's many warnings, till at length the Lord rejected them. And with clear and solemn words did he warn them of their approaching end. However, Israel still carried on fervently in her religious observances, although God had withdrawn himself. It made no difference to her. She was as ardent in all her ceremonies as ever. Indeed, she would not have it that there was anything wrong. The Israelites thoroughly enjoyed their festivals and days of convocation. They rejoiced in their manner of worship, as we saw from verse 1 of this chapter a couple of weeks ago. They rejoiced in it. It's all now coming to an end, says the Almighty. Last week we saw from verse 3, you are to dwell in the Lord's land no longer. You're going to return to Egypt, which means going back to your former state before ever I called you. Going back to your former state, just as any other people. Back into the world, no longer to know the favor of dwelling in my land, where these great privileges have been vouchsafed to you. You will revert to a manner of life which is just as the heathen, existing in the same way as do other nations, as Assyria. In other words, you will exchange liberty for captivity again. Then what will you do when these solemn days come around? I have not been amongst you, says the Lord, for many a year. Your offerings I accepted not. Nevertheless, I have still shielded you, in mercy calling you to repentance. But you would not. You were set upon your own line, which brought you satisfaction, brought to you joy. But now you're about to be carried off and swallowed up by ruthless heathen men. They will have no sympathy with your religion whatsoever. There'll be no observing festivals in Assyria. Israel, you're going back to the captivity of Egypt. Silly dove. Verse 6. For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. This verse, you see, but continues the strain. Lo, they're gone. A people who were once the people of God, gone. Small departure from first, only small, but persisted in, with no desire to return. In consequence, decay set in. Declension over the generations. And it intensified till ultimately apostasy prevailed. Gone. Gone. Strong word is this. In its original, it means ruined. Lost. Undone. Beyond hope. Says the Spirit of God, lo, they're gone. And Egypt shall gather them up. Egypt shall gather them up. The thought here is to collect in order to bury. The very people that God brought out of Egypt with a mighty arm and an outstretched hand, same people, going to gather them up again. John Calvin states, Egypt shall be as a sepulcher to them, in which they shall remain shut up. By such language, says Calvin, any hope of deliverance is now taken away, gone. The next phrase confirms this. Memphis, that is the ancient capital, or it was the ancient capital of Egypt, Memphis shall bury them. Friends, in this, we are to see finality. Finality. Burial. Your pleasant places. Your silver. In other words, Israel, the things which you treasured the most will give place to nettles. Yes, Israel, you're to know the sting of forsaking your God. Nettles. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles, overgrown, gone to waste. Extinct. Gone. Now we are not speaking of backsliding now. A backslider never goes. A backslider is never ruined. A backslider will always return. Neither are we speaking of heresy. One pointed out the difference some weeks ago. No, we are now treating of apostasy. That which is the ultimate result of persistent heresy. And the Bible uses language which can mislead no man. For apostasy, there is no remedy. Verse 7. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. For the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. Now it may appear, friends, in fact it does appear to many, we must never think this way, but it may appear on times that the patience and long-suffering of God is inexhaustible. But this is not so. In Peter's second epistle, chapter 2, in verse 3, we are told that his judgment lingereth not, and damnation slumbereth not. Let none be deceived in this. Days of visitation and days of recompense come. They did for Israel. They will for this day and age. The apostasy of the church and the gross iniquity of the world. The judgment of God lingereth not, and damnation slumbereth not. Israel shall know it, says the Almighty. They'll discover it. And so will this world. Then it goes on, the prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. Now Israel had now got to the state when true spiritually minded men were looked upon as mad, unbalanced. And God's faithful prophets who stood up and denounced the evil of the day were regarded as fools, extremists. But then there is also, I believe, in fact I am sure, another meaning. That meaning is quite legitimate, is quite in order. But as one has said before, there are so often many meanings to the same scripture. And there is another here. And remember, Israel had her own self-styled prophets and spiritual men. She got her own. And we must look at these before we go any further. It's very important. What we're about to see is not only important to a right interpretation of this scripture, but it's also highly relevant to our day also. And at the outset, I must point out that neo-spiritual men, false prophets, and deceivers are the hallmark of apostasy. Neo-spiritual men, false prophets, and deceivers are the hallmark of apostasy. Turn to the first book of Kings in chapter 22. And I want you to note very carefully the scriptures to which we now refer. The first book of Kings, chapter 22, and verse 20. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. There came forth a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. Now to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 23. And a very important chapter is this. Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 11. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers. And none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. And from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Verse 25. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Verse 31. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. I say, very important chapter. Before we go into these verses, let me remind you that this which we now examine, beloved, is a horrible thing. God says so in verse 14 of Jeremiah 23. It's a horrible thing. It's not my language, it's the language of the Spirit of God. It's divinely inspired. It's a horrible thing. What is it? Men purporting to be spiritual, yea, even thinking themselves to be, when they're not. In their imagination, they have even deceived their own hearts. They actually set themselves up to be prophets. Yes, but more than that, for they claim to be heaven-sent prophets. Well, what exactly are they doing? Receiving visions and revelations. A phony use of their tongues. And all being done in the Lord's name. Every supposed communication is passed on as being the authoritative message of Jehovah. Yes, but that was not all. These deceivers were popular. Israel would listen to these men. whereas the true prophets were regarded as mad. Well, how come, we say? Impossible. It's not. Sadly possible. How could these prophets be so successful as to carry almost all the people with them? It looked so spiritual. Now, the art of counterfeit is an exact copy. An imposter will always mimic the true. And what did we read in the first book of Kings 22 in verse 21? There came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. I will persuade him. A lying spirit. Persuasive. I'll do it. Now we should note that the Lord did not say, no, you will not. I will persuade him, says the Spirit. God did not prevent him. You will remember, Satan came and stood before the Lord in the days of Job, great arch enemy himself. He came and stood before the Lord. And the great adversary was given a free hand within the bounds which were set by the Almighty. But within those bounds, he had an absolute free hand. Now, according to the secret counsels of the sovereign God of the universe, this has always been so, and it still is. So let none of us be under any illusion. It still is. We don't want to ask why. It pertains to the secret counsels of Jehovah. And within the bounds which are set by God, the adversary has a free hand. Within the bounds set. This is why false prophets existed in Israel. And this is why they exist today. They had great success, one said. They did indeed. Why? Because it was a spirit movement. Oh, it was. It was a spirit movement. But not a movement of God's Spirit. They received visions, all right. They could use their tongue in an apparent miraculous manner. And all done in the name of the Lord. Now turn to the Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 2. The Lamentations of Jeremiah in chapter 2, verse 14. Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee. God is speaking to Israel. Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee. Oh yes, they saw them all right. God didn't say they imagined them. Those prophets saw vain and foolish things. Pass them on to Israel. Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 3. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. That is they have seen nothing authentic from God. Oh, they saw things, as Jeremiah records in his lament. But God says they're following their own spirit. They've seen nothing from me. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. That's complimentary, isn't it? Cunning. Sly. Your self-styled prophets are foxes. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22. Jeremiah 4, verse 22. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They're wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Now then, who are the fools? Who are the fools? Why, these men. These men who are masquerading as prophets, they're pseudo-spiritual men. They're spurious. Who is mad then? Why you, Israel, for following them? You're as sottish children. Just as a drunken sot. Plain stupid, no understanding, no knowledge. In our language, senseless. In biblical language, silly doves. Complementary to large sections of today's church, isn't it? What did one say earlier? This spurious prophetic ministry and neo-spirituality was a characteristic of the apostasy of Israel's closing years. Let's grasp that. This spurious prophetic ministry, this neo-spirituality, was a characteristic of the apostasy of Israel's closing years. Now to link up with last week, when we were making comparisons to the last great apostasy of the New Testament age. Well, what are we seeing tonight, brethren and sisters? What are we seeing? Could Holy Scripture throw a more brilliant light upon the contemporary scene than this? It is the masterpiece of Satan to work deception. The masterpiece. And when his success has reached such a peak that he is almost deceiving the very elect, then he's reached his limit. This is his zenith. God will soon step in. And that which we have seen concerning the end time of Israel's history is rampant today. It is of the identical order to that of the minor prophet period. Some few years ago now, I received 4 or 5 pages of closely typed foolscap from a man who claimed to have received a message from God for me. It was given to him one Sunday afternoon as he sat in the window of his front room in a village in mid-Devon. It was written in the form of an epistle, just as Paul wrote to Timothy. Precisely the same language, phraseology, same format. And this man claimed that whilst the Bible is the inspired word of God, yet we must not restrict the Almighty. He is now giving further revelation, such as is relevant to the 20th century. And I might say that this man was highly respected. He was a fine preacher in evangelical circles. He traveled the county of Devon widely. Now I wrote to him, reminding him of the words of Revelation 22 and verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. I've never had contact with him since. A few weeks ago, I received a similar epistle from a man in the north of England who had attended service here during the past summer and sat in our pews here in North Road Chapel. He claimed the prophetic gift, and he obviously felt that North Road Chapel was badly in need of further revelation. And he too wrote a short epistle. Brethren and sisters, these things are all around us. They're all around us. Tongues, healings, prophesyings. People are claiming to be baptized in the Spirit, slain in the Spirit. It goes on within a radius of a few miles of Biddeford. Probably goes on in Biddeford, I don't know. But I do know it goes on in a village very near to us. The Spirit is telling them to sell their property and put the money into a common treasury. A common treasury of these pseudo-spiritual groups. I know a man who recently sold his farm, 200 acres. You work that out at £1,800 an acre. And that money went into the common kitty of a charismatic group, simply because the apostles of that church had received a message that that should be done. He did it. Nearly broke his father's heart. I've heard of cases, and this is not uncommon, of men demanding possession of another brother's new car. Man gave up a... The elder wants that car. Yes, and believe it or not, even other men's wives. The Spirit of God has so guided, or the Spirit rather, the Spirit has so guided them. The things which men and women claim to be led to do today are legion, and they're incredible. And just as in Jeremiah's day, with seeming absolute confidence, do they say, he saith, yes, the Lord has told me this. Only a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a man in North Devon who was attending such a neo-Pentecostal gathering. He said, I'm bewildered. A dear Methodist man. looking for better things. And attending one of these house groups, he says, I'm bewildered. He said, Mr. Mullen, there's too much hugging and kissing there. And he said, they roll on the floor. Yet it's all of the Spirit, they say. Beloved, I tell you this, there is very little difference between that and what went on in the groves in Israel's day. Very little difference. These things are lying wonders. Yet many Christians are mad enough to leave the old paths and follow this. The devil is reaching his zenith. Make no mistake about it. He's reaching his zenith in deception within the church. Countless thousands are being caught in this web in a more or less degree. It is my firm belief a part of the last great apostasy. In Israel's day, we read, and there came forth a spirit. It was another spirit. Indeed, it was a lying spirit. They prophesied lies in my name. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Jeremiah 23, verse 30. And such spirits as this are also predicted at the end time in Revelation 16 and verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They came from the pit. That's where they came from. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles. Oh yes, they work them. They are the spirits of devils working miracles. Brethren and sisters, these spirits are abroad today. And a very great percentage of the church, alas, think it's the Spirit of God. Oh, may the Lord in mercy use his infallible word to alert many before it be too late and it's gone. Amen. Hymn number 745. 745. Who would true valor see? Let him come hither. 745.
Stories do but themselves confound. His strength the more is. No lion can him fright. He'll with a giant fight. But he will have a right to be a pilgrim. Hobgoblin nor foul fiend can daunt his spirit. He knows he at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies fly away. He'll fear not what men say. He'll labor night and day to be a pilgrim.
Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy word to us again this evening. May it greatly strengthen us as we have seen these truths so clearly stated in thy word. May they equip us for the evil day in which we live, and so keep us from being ensnared in the net of the fowler. We pray for the going forth of thy word, that it might be a blessing to all who...